Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT, your favorite podcast, our favorite podcast with my favorite people, or kind of. I'm here with my co-host, Kyle Borg, pastor of a Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas, a little slice of heaven, and Barry York, who's the president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary and a former pastor. He is preaching regularly and a ruling elder now, or are you still a ruling elder, Barry?
For season, yeah.
Okay.
So we get organized.
You have all those things covered. Yeah. All right. Well, it's good to be with you guys today. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you as well, Scott and Kyle.
I'm doing great. Scott, I want to just as a show of encouragement to you, because I feel like sometimes I tear you down too much. That was an outstanding opening. Well done. I'm also glad to be numbered among one of your favorite people.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm prone to hyperbole. And that word reminds me of something. And so bear with me as we get to the topic. One of the things I like to do after I am in a jury trial, I talk to the jury, I talk to people in my office who are heard part of it, and they said, Scott, sometimes you use too big of words. And I actually used the word hyperbole to a jury, and I had two or three people say, I have no idea what that means, which makes me scratch my head. How do you not know what that means? But nonetheless, it was a criticism I've tried to take and grow from, but I fail miserably oftentimes. And that got me to thinking, there was a great podcast article by John Piper. Ask Pastor John, and it talked about some of the criticisms that he's received as a pastor. And then my mind got to thinking, well, wouldn't this be fun to do with Kyle and Barry? And it kind of gets me off the hook. I don't have to say much of anything. I just get to ask questions of you guys and kind of poke the bear a little bit. So one of the things I'd like to do is talk about your preaching ministry and maybe some of the criticisms that you have received, go through some of them that John Piper has received. So at least you're in decent company and, just get your thoughts, how you responded to it. Did it cut you to the core or did it make you a better preacher? So, some of these, have you guys seen this article at all?
Yes.
Or heard, listened to this podcast? You have, Kyle?
Yep.
I have not. I've just heard about it, but I didn't read it.
Okay. Are you guys both okay with me just peppering you with these kind of questions? And
yeah, I think, Scott, you said that it kind of gets you off the hook. And I guess in some ways it gets me off the hook too, because I've never received criticism about anything in my life. So just kidding. That was a bad attempt at a joke. Pastor Piper does these Ask Pastor Johns, and every now and then I like to browse through them. And this one did stick out to me a couple of weeks ago when I saw it. I thought, that's actually a fairly entertaining topic to think about. John Piper is renowned. I mean, he's known the world around for his preaching ministry. So I read it. I actually really enjoyed it. And I'm up for this today. I think it'll be fun.
All right. And try not to make it too personal.
I'm always open to being embarrassed publicly, so it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you are pastors. And I do remember we did an episode. It's been quite some time ago about some embarrassing things maybe that happened during the preaching. But this is a little bit different. So we're going to deal with just maybe some of the criticisms that you have received. And so in all honesty, have you ever received criticism about your preaching outside of seminary? Because I know in seminary, part of the whole teaching process is to have critical a review of your sermons and even at presbytery, but just in your pastoral ministry, have you had that opportunity to be criticized?
I have. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Now, is it something that happens regularly, or is it you know.
You know, regular, I mean, so, and maybe it's just useful to clarify, there are some comments that come at you that are truly just criticizing. And there are those who come seeking to genuinely help. And whether you want to call that being critical and criticizing or just discerning help, helping you become more sanctified in your preaching, you know, and there is something to that. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in the context of writing to him about his ministry that Timothy is to let everybody see his progress. And of course, as preachers, we want, you know, I'm 10 years in as an ordained pastor, preached for a few years before that. We want to be able to progress, and we want our people to see that. I imagine even Barry, aged as he is, would still like to be progressing in preaching as he nears the finish line. I'm kidding, Barry. You're not really nearing the finish line yet, so we hope
not.
But so, you know, there are criticisms. There is good dialogue sometimes that people are genuinely trying to help you with. Sometimes people just want to be opinionated. And maybe that's something worth saying. You know, everybody has an opinion on how the word of God should be preached. And everybody is kind of in their mind at times, I think, an expert in that, because while I sit in the pew and I've listened to sermons my whole life, and so now I'm going to tell you what I think. So it happens. And I think as a pastor, just not only as a pastor, just as a Christian, you always need to sift through everything and take the truth where there's truth to be taken. And even if it's not always motivated in the best of ways, to put a good spin on it.
So let me start off by asking this, and I'm not asking for specifics here. Have you guys ever criticized or offered constructive criticism, however you want to put it, to pastors outside of, so I want to say this, outside of like presbytery meeting or a school setting where that is expected and desired?
So like outside of a presbytery, outside of a context where we're supposed to be giving feedback, yes. One of the principles that I learned from my professors at seminary is in maintaining a high view of the preaching of the word, to be very careful after the fact to say much at all. We do have a high view that the word of God goes forth and it never returns void. The word of God, whether it's preached competently or at times incompetently, it carries out what God's will was for it in that place at that time. And so if people approach me and say, you know, like, would you listen to this? What kind of feedback might you give me? I'm more willing to do it. I admit maybe even the critical part of my own heart sometimes wants to give people some opinions and some feedback. But I do personally, I try to be reserved, maintaining a high view that, look, regardless of what Kyle's opinion is, the word of God accomplished today exactly what he purposed for it.
I just recently went up to our friend Jason Thoman Scott, and after he preached, and I told him that, you know, as he was preaching, I felt like I was in heaven because it just kept going on forever and ever.
Oh, you know, I would feel bad for Jason, except I think he might be one of the reasons I got sucked into this podcast. So
yes.
Do that as it may.
Yeah. No, you know, and he knew I was jesting with him. His sermon wasn't long. It was just a joke. But I do follow that up with the fact that because of our relationship, he often comes up and asks me for feedback. And so when I'm asked, I give it. I actually, you know, because I'm at the seminary teaching homiletics, I'm constantly giving feedback to the guys there. But I try to be really careful in any other setting to not do that. Actually, at Presbytery, I don't do it because I feel like they've gotten all my feedback there. I just want them to hear what other people say. Sometimes afterwards, I will go up to them and try to encourage them or give them a little way to respond to something they heard. But yeah, I don't go very often to others unless they ask me to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I find it hard. I agree with what you said, Kyle. I find it hard to go up and criticize a pastor because, one, I've never done it. It doesn't mean I don't listen with a critical heart sometimes, but, you know, these are also God's anointed. And, you know, that's it's a very scary thing to do, to go and speak to one who has been called and anointed by God to preach the word. Now, I'm not saying if somebody's theologically out of line, I mean, you say something there, but just to criticize somebody on some of the things that John Piper has been criticized about, I just think is rather unfair. But yeah, so let me go ahead.
I was just wanting to respond to that, that I agree with the spirit you're having. I do think that a preacher should be open to correction, though. You think in the scriptures of Priscilla and Aquila went up to Apollos, who was quite a orator, and they showed, you know, I think it was a theological concern they had with his preaching. And so brought that to him. And I was just remembering a time when my daughter Emery was in her teenage years, and she was visiting a church of a relative, and the man was just not, it was just preaching liberalism. And she went up, and I wasn't there, but I heard in tears, she was pleading with this man. So I do think there are times where if, you know, the truth is on the line, then we do have to speak. But like you're saying, when it's these lesser things, I think we need to be far more careful, unless it's just interfering with the message being communicated.
Right. And I wanted to make that point clear, that I'm not speaking about doctrinal theological issues, but more of just the persona and the delivery type things. So have you guys ever heard this criticism? You're too loud.
Yes. Every day of my life.
Well, I'm not talking about your personality, Kyle. I'm talking about your preaching.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, this is why I feel close kinship to John Piper right now, theological distinctions notwithstanding. I have received the comment that I am too loud. In fact, Winchester, when I candidated here, I got a tour of the church building, and Winchester had just invested in like a $20,000 new sound system. And they were so excited about this for whoever was going to come and be pastor. And I preached in it once, and somebody came up to me and said, that was the biggest waste of money our church has ever spent. There is no need for voice amplification. So,
very nice. Barry, have you ever had that complaint?
I have, although I would say, especially earlier on in my ministry, it was actually the opposite. You're too quiet. You're going too fast. So slow down and raise your voice. So I had a lot of that early on. And it's interesting too, different sanctuaries in Indiana and the Sycamore Sanctuary, it's got these beautiful curved pews and the acoustics are nice. And so it wasn't hard to lift your voice so you could be heard. When I came to College Hill and started preaching, I did get critiqued that some people in the back couldn't hear me. I would say in some of the more recent years, there have been more, wow, that was kind of loud, rather than too quiet. So
nice.
Especially for my wife.
Your hearing's not going away, is it? So like you're not speaking loud because you can't hear.
Well, you know, with that, if I can dialogue with the criticism, Scott. So right.
Yeah, sure.
So I have been told I am loud. You know, and there are people who say that in, you know, thankfulness and gratitude. There was an elderly woman in our church, and she before she passed away, she loved being able to come to church because it was the one time of the week she could take her hearing aids out. And she would sincerely thank me every week. I got a break from my hearing aids. I don't need them when you preach, and I really appreciate that. And so, you know, then there's other people who are like, you're just so loud. I think, you know, as with all criticisms, you need to take it in stride. And I think for me, when I think about this or other criticisms, and maybe we'll touch on some of that, a lot of it has to do with, you know, we do need to be ourselves behind the pulpit. That is early on in my preaching experience. That was one of the criticisms I often got is, Kyle, we just don't feel yourself. Like you step up to the pulpit and it's not the Kyle we dialogue with. Like it's not the Kyle we know in any other setting. And so, you know, if your loudness and your volume is just this fabricated moment behind the pulpit where, because I'm here, I'm going to raise my voice to the umpteenth degree or whatever, I think there's a lot of validity in, you know, you need to be yourself. I happen to be an exceedingly loud person in every and any context. And so I hear criticism like that. I try to take it carefully. You know, I'll play with it, but I also think it's very important for us to be ourselves when we're in the pulpit.
Kyle's just making me think, you know, in the early church, there was John Chrysostom, who was, you know, named that because he was golden mouth because of his preaching. Maybe Kyle's could be Kyle Megalophonus.
Barry, I appreciate that connection. Although, you know, Charles Spurgeon, they measured the amplitude or whatever of Charles Spurgeon's voice once. He could be heard almost a mile away. So I often also console myself, I might be loud. There's no way I'm ever that loud.
Well, good. I want to move on because there's a lot of good questions here, and I like the dialogue. So this perhaps is I'm not going to ask all 10 questions that or 10 criticisms John got, but I like this one, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the first one. But you sound angry. Have you ever been accused of being preaching angry?
Yes.
Barry, have you? And then maybe we can dialogue about this a little bit.
Yes, I would say that, although I think it was in the time or two when the text was about the wrath of God. And so it was hard for me to know whether that comment was really I was angry or just I was the preaching subject was unpleasant to the hearer. So that's the one I remember.
Okay.
The very first message I ever gave behind a pulpit, it was June 4th of 2006. It was in a PCA church. And I was told by an individual immediately after preaching, that was the angriest sermon I've ever heard. I thought you were about to jump over the pulpit into all of our laps and just start thrashing us. And early on in that context, it was easily chalked up to nerves. When I get nervous, I can tend to sound that way. Or even when I just get worked up, you know, I have my brothers and I growing up, we loved debating around the dinner table. And my mom could never, you all sound so angry. And angry? We're not angry at all. Like, we're having the time of our life right now. And so, but you know, you don't want to sound angry. Unless it's an appropriate moment to sound angry with the text. And so that is a criticism that I try to take to heart and I take conscientiously. I don't want to sound like an angry preacher. I want my affections to be real. I want the real Kyle, even the boisterous Kyle. But it is it does take effort. And some of that came naturally, I think, as nerves began to wear down a little more, not as nervous behind the pulpit. But it is something I try to be consciously aware of.
And preaching, that's part of teaching dynamics too, because I've heard guys get loud real quickly. And if you get loud real quickly, it sounds like you're yelling or shouting in anger. But if you keep talking and your voice gets a little louder because you're getting more passionate about the text, you know, and your voice is rising, then you're kind of bringing everyone up with you. And so it takes away this idea of that you're angry at them. So you have to be, as a preacher, you have to think about even some of the volume, the ups and downs of your volume and your dynamics.
Kind of going off this, and this is not one of the questions that was listed in this article, but have you ever had somebody criticize you, you're not angry enough, or you should show more emotion? Why aren't you, you know, being more heartfelt in what you're preaching?
I have personally never received that.
I can't believe that, Kyle.
I'm a fairly emotive human being, so no.
I can't. Yeah, I'm just not remembering. I'm not saying it doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I just can't remember that specific criticism.
Okay.
But there are plenty of other ones that I can remember.
Well, we'll get to those here in just a few minutes. The reason I asked that question is I remember being asked that, or being that comment being made to me one time in a trial, is we thought you would be a lot angrier when you were talking about this. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. I mean, there was a reason I wasn't, but I mean, I was angry, but I was really trying to hold it back. And it came across like I wasn't angry at all. I didn't know if perhaps that might have come up with one of you. You know, if you're preaching a passage like you've talked about, Barry, where God's wrath is being displayed and you're kind of, you know, not giving it your all. I didn't know if anybody had ever said anything. I never thought that about you. That's not what I'm getting at. But so what about this one? Your preaching is just too complex, or I'm going to change it up a little bit. You know, your preaching is just way too high. It's too detailed. Why don't you just come down, bring it down to a common man's language and topics and things. Have you ever had that kind of criticism?
Well, I remember one time I was preaching the passage in Daniel about the 70 years. I just confused the whole church. Like it was a lost cause. Like I just made it way too complex. And I remember writing a letter that next week trying to, you know, it was like 2 or 3 page letter trying to explain what I was saying. And so I definitely have been guilty of that one, or, you know, just taking something that, sometimes it can happen with like an illustration. Like I think mathematically about things and I'll start telling something in math and it's just not connecting with the audience that I have. So I've certainly had that where it's not just the whole sermon like the Daniel 7:70 was, but the I made too complicated an explanation, spent too long in a certain text instead of moving on in the sermon. So certainly have complicated things when I didn't need to.
Maybe not the direct words of "you're too complex," but one thing that a comment or criticism I've heard is, you know, sometimes your preaching is like drinking from a fire hose, and there's a complexity to that, right? In mm-hmm. in what you're conveying and what you're preaching. And again, that's a criticism I want to take seriously, because we are called as pastors to feed the sheep. We're not called to drown them or to overstuff them. At the same time, there is, in the dynamics of preaching, there is a sense in which, in one sense, you want to, if you can gauge it right, you do want to preach at times just a little over the head of the congregation, because you need and want them to progress as well. And if you're always just aiming and giving the digestible, easy, you know, you want to see them grow. And sometimes that is achieved by, yep, it's going to be a little complex. We're going to, I am aiming a little above your heads, but I'm asking you, with the help of the Spirit, I want you to grow into that. And so for me, at least, it's a criticism I want to listen to. You know, if my preaching is too complex, that is not helpful to people, then that's a bad sign. At the same time, you do want to stretch people. You do want to encourage them to greater growth.
Well, good. I'm going to take one more off of his list, and then I'm going to ask you a couple other questions. But have you ever had the complaint you preach too long?
Your
sermons are just too long.
We had a family from Canada in our congregation, and every now and then their father would come down and visit them. And after I would get done preaching, he would say, "Well, it was pretty good content, but he was just too long in the toot." So definitely have had that complaint.
I have. Okay, so if you want you want a little window into Kyle's massive and biggest insecurities, the length of preaching is the thing that is probably almost on the verge of sinful, is the most burdensome to me. I tend to gauge in the immediate aftermath of preaching, I tend to gauge how I feel about how I preached simply and solely on how long was it. Like, I run home to look at the recording to see how many minutes my sermon lasted. It is a terrible burden to labor under, and I have tried for years to overcome some of that. Now, having said that, nobody in Winchester has ever criticized the length of my sermons, which average about 42 minutes. So why I'm so burdened by it, I've never been able to totally... Thank you, Barry. Barry's playing into all my insecurities. Oh, Barry. Barry's eyes just got as big as silver dollars. So, you know, but I have in other places and at other times, I've received criticisms about it being too long. I guest preached in a church once and I hit the 25-minute mark. And I think half a dozen people stood up and walked out because they were ready. They were used to just 15, 20-minute sermons. That was a very awkward moment in my life and threw me for a loop in the pulpit.
Did you tell him to sit down?
No, I didn't have the courage. I didn't have the backbone. So the length of sermons tends to be one of the things that I think, just by observation, and again, I haven't experienced this in my own congregation, but it is the point people seem most critical of, and people have the strongest opinions, and a lot of time, very, in my opinion, very uninformed opinions, other than it's my preference and I don't want to hear you talk anymore, you know? And so, you know, John Piper's article where he's responding to this, I think he says, and I've heard him say this before, he doesn't feel that he can preach a good sermon in under 45 minutes. And again, I think this is going to differ with men and their abilities and their giftings and, you know, what they're capable of. But I have received the criticism.
Fair enough. And what I would say, maybe not necessarily to John Piper, but sometimes there's this old saying, I wanted to sit down and write you a short letter, but I didn't have time. So I've written you this long one. Sometimes people can tend to go long because they haven't planned well. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. But nonetheless, I'm not suggesting that about you, but there is that flip side of the coin that I've seen. And I know even from my own experience in the courtroom, when I'm not as organized and planned out as I should be, I tend to go longer. Mm-hmm. So just one thought. So listen, I'm going to ask you some other questions that aren't on here. What is the one criticism you have received most in your pastoral ministry, if you don't mind sharing?
Are you talking about our preaching ministry or all of our pastoral? Because we've been talking about preaching.
Well, yeah, you're preaching.
Okay.
Preaching, yeah. Not pastoral. But I guess that was directed toward you, Barry, because you're not a full-time preacher anymore. So as you were a full-time preacher, what was the one criticism that you received the most?
Yeah, and I'm actually preaching quite a bit right now, so and having to keep working on this one thing. I would say my dynamic of it actually was on Piper's list, and you didn't pick it, so I didn't have to confess it. Now I do. Is I can go, my modulation can go too low, so I can trail off in a sentence, or sometimes when I'm really wanting to emphasize like tenderness or something, I can get too quiet and then people aren't actually hearing what you're saying. And so I've heard that one throughout my ministry. Currently we're in it's a smaller church and a smaller sanctuary. I don't think anyone's having any trouble hearing me, but in bigger, especially bigger settings like the College Hill building, which is long and narrow, I heard that and I kept trying to work on it. But sometimes in the preaching moment, you're not thinking about a certain dynamic. So,
yeah. So, interesting question. Not in Winchester, but somewhere else, I got the criticism that Judas Iscariot preached better sermons than I could. Glad that is not not a recurring criticism that I get in my life. You know, another guy, not in Winchester, once told me, you know, your preaching is really good for my wife. If you see my head down in church, it's because I found something better to read than having to listen to you. So again, but that's not a common criticism. That only happened once as well. So I'm glad that those are not criticisms that are often repeated. On the whole, and I want to be very clear in case anybody is eavesdropping on this podcast, I don't get a lot of criticisms in Winchester. Winchester has been very patient and very kind toward me in my preaching. But I do think one of the fairest and most often criticisms I get has to do with eye contact. And I tend, and sometimes it's because I'm thinking while I'm preaching. Sometimes it's probably a nervous tic. I can close my eyes. Thank you, Barry. Barry's demonstrating on the camera. So that would be a criticism, a valid criticism that I have gotten and well deserved. So,
you know, it's interesting. Both of you listed something on John Piper's list that I skipped over because, you know, I just never thought that would be
the top 10 criticism list. I think you just went to other things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just skipped over. We didn't have time to go to all top 10s, and we are kind of running out of time, but I do have one final.
Well, can I add one more?
Sure.
Can I piggyback one more on that real quick? So another criticism, and it's not even that critical. People just enjoy laughing about it. I am not always the best at pronouncing words. And there have been three particular occasions where I have pronounced a word so wrong and the whole church starts laughing and I am clueless. So like, I think I used a word. It was awful. It was drawn throughout the whole of my, like, I think it was one of my main points, and it's the word predicament. And I don't know why, but I pronounced it predicament, and the whole congregation laughed. I don't know where I picked this one up, but as a boy, I heard that a baby lamb, a ewe, was pronounced ew. And so, like, I think I was preaching in Isaiah, and I kept referring to the ewes, and everybody let me know how wrong that was. And then the word writhe, I slaughtered the word writhe once in a sermon, and it was so embarrassing. So pronunciation is something I just tell people, statistics say, if you're not great at pronouncing, it's because you're a reader. And so I say, see, it's just a sign that I'm a reader.
Yeah, that one gets me a lot too.
Did you say Utes? Did you say Utes? No, that's from a movie. I'm sorry. Probably my favorite lawyer movie. We'll move on. Barry, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, I was actually just talking about it with the homiletics class today, that I'm a hillbilly from North Carolina, and just sometimes I mispronounce things or wrongly emphasize things. And somebody brought it up, but I was preaching a message and kind of at the climatic portion where they were supposed to be falling prostrate before God, but the congregation about falling prostates. And so it kind of took away the power of the moment.
Oh, that is funny.
And that's probably that somewhere out there on Sermon Audio, but I'm not telling you where.
That good stuff. So, and finally, because we're running out of time, what one criticism has been offered to you that has had the biggest impact on your ministry, good or bad, like something that you've taken or you heard, or it's most memorable to you, just something that, you know, along those lines, other than you preaching like Judas or not even as good as Judas?
Yeah, that just caused trauma, major trauma. I think the most helpful, and I count this one as constructive criticism. It came from a ruling elder in one of the churches that I did an internship in. And I knew I was loved by this man. I knew this man wanted me to succeed as a preacher and be the best preacher that I could be. And after serving an internship in the church, he brought me out and said, I want to sit down and evaluate your preaching with you. And I've already mentioned it, but it was, he in particular was the one that said, Kyle, I love you. And the Kyle I get in the pulpit is not the Kyle I have when we're dialoguing and spending time together. And the best constructive criticism I got was, learn to be yourself in the pulpit. And for reasons I won't go into, that was an insecurity I really had to overcome. Partly because of the Dutch seminary I went to. But
did you say cemetery?
I did. It slipped.
Yeah,
it is the, yeah. But that remains probably one of the more formative counsels I've gotten is be comfortable with yourself, because a very important aspect of preaching, to put it, it is text through personality. Our personality should come through in the way in which we preach.
One of the first things that just comes to my mind to that question is Dr. Blackwood. When I was interning and just starting out in my preaching, I remember him a number of times saying that my preaching was sincere, but it lacked authority, and that I needed to preach with the authority of Christ. And then he kind of encouraged me. He said, realize that some of that's going to come when you're ordained, when men lay hands on you and set you apart, you will feel the weight of that authority, and you will start realizing that you are representing Christ and his church every time you're in the pulpit. And again, it's not like this magical thing that happens when you're ordained, but you grow, there's a sense in which you really do grow into it and begin to realize that we're not to preach in fear and timidity, but to proclaim and herald on behalf of Christ his word. So that was, it was hard to hear when I was a young man, those words from Roy, but they were true and helpful to me.
I appreciate you guys opening up yourselves like this. I mean, it's hard sometimes to talk about the criticisms you've received, I mean, I know after I get done with every episode, I go back and think about all the things that Kyle is going to say to me about how I've messed up an introduction, except for today. It was a great word of encouragement from Kyle today.
You are so sensitive.
There it is.
That's my criticism for you.
Criticism for today. I'll end this episode and then go think about how sensitive I am. But no, I do appreciate you guys sharing, and hopefully it's good for our listeners to hear, just kind of get behind the curtain again of what it's like to be a pastor and minister God's word.
Well, Scott, just remember in the words of Karen Carpenter, we've only just begun. We could share a lot more.
Yeah, her angelic voice.
Karen Carpenter, way better to be quoting the Carpenters than my cousin Vinny. Go on, Scott.
But you knew it. And I mean, that speaks volumes. You knew exactly what I was referring to.
And one Barry other did. Person didn't.
I would be interested to, and I don't want any feedback on this, but how many of the listeners would have been able to say that's my cousin Vinny that I quoted, but I digress. I'd also like to know how many of our listeners have actually heard a song that Karen Carpenter has sung, but please don't contact us about that. Just a fleeting thought in my mind.
Well, your introduction was great. I don't know about this conclusion. Land the plane, Scott.
All right.
Bring us home, baby.
I mean, I could just say goodbye and, you know, shut it off. We could do that, but I'm not going to do that. I do want to thank you for listening and joining us on this episode. Kyle, thanks again. I can't talk now. It's good to have you join us on this episode of 3GT. We do love hearing from you. If you have thoughts, ideas on what topic you'd like us to cover, we would love for you to email us and let us know. You can email us at 3gt.xyz. We look forward to joining you again next time on 3GT.
Good recovery.